each and every day. We thank you for our lives, for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. And as we look to celebrate Thanksgiving, we thank you for this country, for the blessings we have in this country, for the opportunity we have to worship you freely and to be with our families and our loved ones. And so we give you thanks. We have so much to thank you for. There are many who will have nothing to eat or place to stay, but yet you have blessed us, and we are forever grateful. And as we thank you for our church and the families who are here and the gifts and graces that you've given us that we have shared with our church, we pray that you will speak a word for us, a word of hope, a word of love, a word of peace, so that we can continue to run this race until the end. Come now, Holy Spirit, with all of your quickening power. Come and be among us and be with us. In Christ's name, amen. And so today, today's Christ the King Sunday, just a little bit of background for you, why we do this, trying to teach a little bit about the liturgical calendar of the church. And so we are celebrating Christ the King Sunday, and what is it? I know we say that all the time here and about the different things. I'm going to write a little piece about all the colors, as the bishop reminded, and all the Sundays. So we know why it's white and gold today. Everybody should know that. It's Christ the King Sunday. It would be purple next week, I would imagine, because it's Advent, purple or blue, meaning the Advent. I'm going to write you a piece, but today is Christ the King, and this is a relatively newer tradition, and this was instituted in 1925 by Pope Pius VI, and I did not know that. I thought this was really much older, but it's much newer. And then, of course, as we seem to, a lot of the things that we do in the liturgical life of the church comes out of the Roman Catholic tradition, whether we like it or not. I know there are people who says they don't want to do Ash Wednesday and all of that because they're not Roman Catholic, but you know that came out of the tradition, because one must remember there was one church at Rome at the beginning. There was one church. Remember I told you last time, a couple weeks ago, that if Martin Luther had not done what he did, we would all be Roman Catholic. But we're not. We're Protestants and we're Methodists. And so this Sunday, as it comes right before Advent, and we're reminded that Christ is King, that He reigns, that is in the world. And we light the Christ candle as a reminder. We did light all three because it's God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ the Lord. That's my thought. Did you know that was the Trinity I thought about? Right? It's always good to have visual things to remember about our faith. And so that's why we are remembering that Christ came into the world today. Not that he came today, but we're remembering it today. And then next week is Advent. And Advent is a season. We begin Advent for 4 weeks. And Advent is a season observed by many Christian churches as a time of expectant waiting and preparation for the celebration of the birth of the Christ child. And that will begin. And this Sunday always comes before Advent. And so we know that we are a people who have been blessed of the Lord. And now, as we begin my sermon today, my sermon title is The Years of Silence. The Years of Silence. And I will explain that to you so you will understand. When you leave here, you will know these things. And I want to start with a reflection that says, Apollo 13 blackout versus 400 years of silence. To illustrate the 400 years of silence prior to the coming of Jesus, Del Tackett compares it to the Apollo 13 incident. On the evening of April 13, when the crew was 200,000 miles from Earth, and closing in on the moon, mission controller Cy Liebergott saw a low-pressure warning signal on an hydrogen tank in Odyssey. Alarm lights lit up in Odyssey and in mission control as oxygen pressure fell and power disappeared. The crew notified mission control with, "Houston, we have a problem. For re-entry to the Earth's atmosphere, there would be a blackout period lasting a few minutes." During the silence, mission control petitioned Apollo 13, "This is Houston, do you read me? Do you read me?" Tackett comments, "The Apollo 13 blackout lasted only a few minutes. Imagine 400 years of silence. Then the silence was broken. At that time, at that right time, God brought forth his son, born of a woman, and fulfilled all the promises and the prophecies." And so the reflection is reminding us that before Jesus would come, there would be 400 years of silence. Now, what happened in these 400 so-called silent years after all the prophets had spoken, and the first New Testament, which is Matthew, writers would begin? The Bible tells us, and we read in the Bible, that after Malachi, if you look at the Bible, in the Old Testament, you will see that Malachi is the last prophetic book in the Bible. Do you know that? Malachi, church-going folks, right? And the canon is laid out that way. We know in the Bible, there are books of the Bible that are not in place according to when they were written, right? Because the canon was set. But Malachi, we know, was the last book. And after Malachi, there is no other Old Testament book for us. We are not using the Apocrypha. We are not Roman Catholic. We are talking about our Bible. Then it is. Then we see Matthew. And after Malachi had ceased his prophesying, and the canon of the Old Testament was closed, then there would be the other books of the New Testament. Right? That is, the number of books in the Old Testament was fulfilled, and the inspired prophets ceased to speak. God allowed a period of time for the teaching of the Old Testament, to penetrate throughout the world. And during this time, he rearranged the scenes in history. Now, here were the people. If you understand the Old Testament, God spoke through the prophets throughout the Old Testament, starting even from Moses. He spoke to Abraham at the beginning. Then he spoke to Moses. He spoke to Joshua. He spoke through the judges. And then at the time, he would begin to speak from Jeremiah to Isaiah to Daniel. He spoke through the prophets. So the people were used to hearing God speak to the prophet. As I said this morning, the Bible was not written until long after Jesus was gone. Maybe over 1,000 years ago. I'm taking up the hymnal now. So the Bible was not written until that time. So there was nothing for them to go to. There were the scrolls, right? They kept the scrolls, but the priests were the ones who had the scrolls. The folks would go to the temple to hear, to read the scrolls, to hear the priests read the scrolls, but they did not have a Bible in their home. They didn't have an Old Testament. They didn't have a Hebrew Bible. They didn't have an Old Testament, New Testament Bible. So they were used to hearing the prophets speak. And the prophets were not only speaking necessarily good and happy things to them. If you read your Bible, you'll see the prophets were speaking hard words many times, and always with those words that were harsh at times, because God had told the prophets to speak. Oftentimes those words were always words of hope, words of restoration. First, it's something like this to minimize it, so that to make it simple, to simplify it. God doesn't like what you're doing, and God is going to put you under punishment. God is going to give you a whipping. That's what the prophets would be saying. God's going to give you a whipping, and after the whipping, God is going to restore you. So God, the prophets would tell them, if you don't stop idolatry, if you don't stop worship of the idols, if you don't stop doing A, B, C, God is going to punish you. And then the people would repent, they would cry to God, God would hear, and God would forgive them, and the cycle would continue. But there were always the prophets. And let me tell you that the prophets were, they beat up on them sometimes. Throw them in jail. We know what happened to Jeremiah. They didn't like what the prophets were saying, but they would speak. And so the people got used to hearing the prophets speaking, right? Whether they're doing good or bad, they know there'd be a prophet showing up at some point. You know, you have the major prophets and the minor prophets, right? Nahum, Habakkuk, right? Or minor prophets, right? Hosea, Joel, minor prophets. We know the four big major prophets, right? And so we know that they were always speaking to the people. And then something amazing happened. There would be silence. But one of the prophecy was that Jeremiah prophesied was that a righteous branch of David would come. So it says in the text you heard, Jeremiah 23, 5 to 6, the days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. So the prophets had prophesied that Jesus would come. The Messiah would come. The Lord our righteousness. The one who would bring righteousness into the world. We see that also in Jeremiah 33. So the people were waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting for the Messiah. When is the Messiah coming? Is he coming today? You know, now we live in a world that we hear a lot of end time. There's a preacher on TV, well-known, Dr. Jeremiah, and he's big on, he comes out of the church with the same pastor who wrote that book on, you know, that you're going to move your, you know, what's that book called again, The Last Days? You know the book, it's going to come back in a minute. But he comes out of that church and he's very big on the end time. He says America is in trouble and, you know, and Russia is going to rule. Russia wants to unite it, and he goes on and on. And we know better that nobody knows. But these folks were really waiting and waiting for the Messiah. Went 400 years, generations would die. You right? Die, mothers die, grandparents die. When is the Messiah coming? Is the Messiah coming? And they didn't have Google. They couldn't Google it to find out, right? They couldn't go on their iPad to check it out, right? They couldn't go on Twitter to find out. They had the verbal Twitter. They went through the villages. Is the Messiah coming this year? Is the Messiah waiting and waiting? Can you imagine 400 years of waiting? Sometimes we're praying for something from God, and we waiting a week is hard for us. 400 years, and nothing happened. And the people continued to wait. And they continued to seek God's face. And some of them were not seeking God's face. Some of them gave up. Don't you imagine? They gave up and they did whatever they wanted to do. Live their lives. They didn't follow Yahweh. They just said, enough already. Don't you imagine? It's not in the text, but I could imagine they said, enough already. You know, this Messiah isn't coming. And then, something happened. Now, I want to submit to you all that we too wait. We wait. We wait to hear from God in our own lives. We may not be waiting for the prophets the way they waited for the prophets, but we wait. And I want to suggest to us today that we should have an attitude for waiting. There's an attitude for waiting. Waiting on God. So it's not easy to wait, is it, church? Is anybody here waiting for anything? Is anybody waiting on God for anything? Some people are waiting to be completely healed from sickness. They know people, we have a prayer list here that we pray over all the time, and we're waiting to hear that people get healed. We want them to be healed. We want our loved ones to be healed. We're waiting to find the right jobs. People are waiting, praying. Christians are waiting and praying. Jews wait and pray to find the right jobs. I think the Jews have a better understanding on waiting than we do because they waited for the Messiah. They know their history. Every Jewish person knows their history, right? Even when they're not very Orthodox, they know. That's why they show up at the High Holy Days. They understand waiting on Yahweh. They get that. because that is their history. That is God's covenant with Israel, right? We wait for our financial situation to get better. We wait for our children to get off drugs. People are waiting and praying. And some of us are waiting to find the right person. Some of us are waiting to find the right person again. You know, and again, you know, we're waiting and we're praying. Some of us we're waiting for our churches to grow. We're waiting for churches to grow. I'm waiting for this church to grow and every church I serve and every church in the conference, waiting on God, praying. And while we're waiting and we're seeking God. Now, since waiting is a part of our life because we can't tell God what to do, we've got to get an attitude so we don't get depressed and bitter and overwhelmed. Got to get an attitude for waiting. And so the first attitude of waiting is to pray and don't stop praying. You just got to keep praying. You know, I say to folks who says, does prayer work or prayer doesn't work? I says, how do you know? I mean, it doesn't hurt. If you pray, it's not going to hurt you. So you might as well pray, because guess what? People have prayed for thousands of years. This is not something new. People have been praying for the Bible from Old Testament is over 4,000 years, what's in the Bible. And people have been praying. And I've never heard that prayer have ever killed anybody. Have we ever heard that? But I've heard oftentimes that prayer have saved lives. People have gotten well, doctors and scientists. I would try it because it's good. If we could try Weight Watchers and Jenny Craig because we want to lose weight, we could try prayer, can't we? Pray, because we know, pray and ask God. And so that's the first attitude. And the second attitude of prayer that we should get is to read the scriptures. God is no longer silent. All the talk that God is going to give has already been revealed. Amen. All we're asking now is for illumination. He's not revealing another word. There's not another Bible being written. Revelations mean there would be a new Bible written. It has been revealed. What we pray for is illumination. God, illumine your word so I could know it. And so we want to be able to what? Read the scriptures. And I know some of the scriptures are hard. You get the Old Testament, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. You have names in there, King Jehoshaphat and Haggai and all of those. You can't even say the name by the time you read. Sometimes when I'm reading Nehemiah and they get to all the census or numbers, I just skip over the census. Because it gets you overwhelmed. But find a scripture. Find a psalm. Read the gospel, the good news, while you're waiting. While you're waiting. Find something that is what? Going to give you hope. Give you hope so that you could continue. And then the next thing is you've got to put your faith in action. Right? Because faith without works is dead. So while you're waiting, you got to get ready. If you're looking for a job, and you're waiting, you need to get equipped. Get your resume together. Even you see people say they're looking, I'm waiting for a job, and they're sleeping in bed every day. Even though they're praying to God, you can't be in the bed praying to God and think the job is going to come to the bed. I'm using a simple, you've got to get active and go forth and go look for a job. Or go take a course, right? It's not that God needs your help. You need your own help, right? You got to get up and go forth. And get ready. And get ready to receive. And also, when you're waiting and praying and reading the Word. Remember, reading the Word is important. I'm reminding you, we'll be having the Bible study online. It is important. It's a good thing to get the Word in your heart. Sometimes you're going through and you could find one word. Oh, Lord God, you're with me. And you could see it. And it just gives you such hope. What you have to do is, if you're not that strong on prayer, sometimes you'll find a prayer partner, someone who will pray with you. And another thing you need to do is surround yourself with positive influences. Do you know there are people who you don't want when you're going through? I told the church this morning that I was in a clergy group, and there was this one woman. Every time she came, she had nothing. There's always something wrong, complaining, something wrong. And I finally said to them, I'm not coming back because I could be miserable all by myself. I am not showing up in this group for you to just tear me down. Right? I won't have it. If somebody is spending their lives trying to tear me down, they're wasting their time. Because I'm a positive thinker. As long as God lives and God breathes and God has my back, you can do nothing to my faith. No living person. I may get thrown off for a moment, but I'm going to remember that my Redeemer lives. I'm going to remember that He brought me through 30-odd years and plus. I'm going to remember that He has been with me all these years. You cannot do, you could pass me by, you could stare at me and don't speak to me, you could do whatever you want, you cannot break me down. Because my Redeemer lives, and that's the attitude you have to take. My Redeemer lives, and He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. And whatever you're going through, many of you are going through things in your family that I may not know and I don't need to know. But trust me, I could give you a word of hope from the Lord that He's unchanging. He will never change. And so these people had a word from the Lord, because I remember Isaiah said to the people before they would have the 400 silence here, he would say, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary." God doesn't faint. He doesn't fall asleep on us. He's up all the time. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, He increases strength. He says, "Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength." Are you waiting for the Lord? Shall renew their strength. "They shall mount up with wings like eagles." Oh, glory to God. That's how God brings us through. "They shall mount up with wings. They should run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." That's what you do in waiting. When you're waiting and you don't know, you don't think things are not happening, He says, "Lord, I am waiting upon you." Huh? Because now I'm weary, but He says you will what? Run and not get weary. Sometimes when I'm running and I get weary, I start to walk. And sometimes I may have to be on my knees crawling before the Lord. Sometimes I'm in tears before the Lord, seeking God, asking God, "Why is this not working? What is happening?" But I know if I continue to wait on Him, I can only give you my testimony. I can't give you anybody else's testimony. I am telling you, I have tried God and proven Him to be true. Amen. I've tried Him and seen Him brought me and other people out of things over and over again. Does He always give us the answer we want at the end? No. So when we're waiting, we're praying to God, seeking God, not sometimes to get us out, one writer says, but we ask God to get us through. Whatever it is we're going through, Lord, get me through. And anytime you back off from asking and praying to God, you just bring more problems on yourself. You can become bitter. Some people are bitter. They're depressed. I don't know what they turn to. If they don't have some kind of faith, oh God, I don't know what they turn to. And here's the end of the story, the New Testament text today. Those people waited. They waited in confusion. They waited wondering. And then the Bible tells us, Scripture tells us, that God would show up for them. Here it is, we would open the Bible to Matthew. And the Bible would tell us that a virgin would bring forth a child. God had not forgotten. 400 years. And so Zechariah, this hymn is called the Benedictus, the praise be. And Zechariah would say, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He has looked favor on His people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of David, and He is the one who came to save them." Church, we've got something to stand by. We've got something to believe in. Don't let anybody let you believe in anything else unless they've got something better. If you're going to want me to change and not believe in the word of God, you got to have something better. You got to have something better that you have proven works for you. You got to have something better, but the word of God stands. So after 400 years of them not hearing God, or them not believing that God was speaking, because God was speaking in the silent time. God was getting things right and ready for them. If you read the book of Daniel, 70 years in captivity, and when Daniel said to God, God, where have you been? Why didn't you show up? The children of Israel have been suffering. He says, you know, the devil wanted to kill you all, and I had to send angel Michael to defend you. God, even when you're waiting and you think God is doing nothing, God is doing something in your life. You just have to ask God for the strength to hold on, because he's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's unchanging. The word of God has never changed, and it never will. And it works then, and it works now. So do I believe that God is going to do great things in this church? Yes. Is it going to necessarily be with me or the next person? I don't know what God's plan is, but I know that God is going to do it. I'm not worried about the process. I don't worry about how it happens. I'm going to believe that God is going to do it, because God can and God will. And that is the hope for your life, whatever you're going through with our children, going through in sickness. I know some folks who are going through. I'm giving you a word of hope this morning that God has not forgotten you. He has never forgotten his people. And that you could hold on and trust him. No matter how long it takes, he's going to come through. I'm praying for some folks that accept Christ. And I may not see the side of eternity, but I know I'll look them from heaven and they will accept Christ, because God's word is true. Amen.